what I saw was that people who had kids were still allowed to have fun in this way that isn't so seen for me in the States. So people would take their kids to live music shows, or there'd be like these open air DJ things. And there was always kids there just wearing like the ear protection things, and the parents were having fun and everybody was having fun and dancing around, and the kids were dancing around too. And I thought, this is amazing.
So Deep, tell me who we have on the show today.
Today we have Julianne. She runs a co-working space in the countryside next to Berlin. And she's originally from Missouri, traveled around the world as an artist, as a communication expert. And while she was in Vietnam, met her husband, decided to move to Berlin, which is all fine, until one day she decides to have kids and at the same time move to a village to create a massive co-working space for 60 people. And I was fascinated to, you know, hear her story and learn from her about her experiences of raising a family in a rural setting, managing a community of people who visit here, a lot of volunteers at the same time, and a whole mix of work and family life in a village setting. So that got me curious. And here we are listening to this episode.
I love it. You're right. Like, she just shone her light big and bright, and we all found it. I can't wait to hear it.
I wanted to really know, you know, what does she tell her kids about dreaming and envisioning and visualizing? Because that is exactly what might have happened, living in a small apartment in Berlin, just having a 6-month-old kid and drawing these blueprints of this imaginary place in the woods, which is a restored hotel. It takes a whole bunch of not just determination, but the clarity of vision and direction and conviction that you're going to be there. And she made that happen. So that was the curiosity that I had going into this interview.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I can't wait to hear what she has to say.
Hi, Julianne.
Hello.
Nice to have you on this podcast. I was really looking forward to this for a long time.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm excited to talk.
I would have loved to do this in person, because that would have meant a couple of good things for me selfishly. I would be at your beautiful workation place, Coconut, and I would get to stay in nature while getting to interview. But unfortunately, we'll have to do it across the screens. Remotely.
Yeah, but we'll make it as best as we can.
Yeah.
And you can come out later, for sure.
I'm looking forward to it. And I need to tell people the beautiful place that Coconut is, how I got to know you and your family and all the amazing people behind Coconut. So Coconut is this vacation retreat place for digital nomads or busy professionals who find their little oasis in a small village about 100 kilometers from Berlin, or 1 hour from Berlin.
It's an hour from Berlin, yeah.
It's an hour from Berlin, about 70 kilometers, I think. And it's a remote village, which is still accessible by trains. And once you land there, you don't feel like you're in village, because there's everything. You got a nice bed and breakfast, you got the hotel-like facilities, and you can focus and concentrate and do your work there. And choose to have walks in the nature and fun things in the nature, camp by the park. It's just amazing. I've had the best holidays at Coconut the whole of this year.
I didn't even pay you to say that.
Yeah.
Thank you. I
don't think I've done justice to what Coconut is all about. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Coconut?
Yeah, I can definitely tell a bit about Coconut. So Coconut, like you said, it's a workation retreat, but it's also more than that. So we are an impact-driven company. And one of the things that we do is host guests from other places that not this village of less than 100 people who would like to come for all different lengths of time, sometimes just a few days, sometimes people stay up to a year or even longer, depending on how they come. People come to work on their own projects and to be around other people and to have easy access to nature. And that's what we were hoping to build, and that's what we have now. And it's grown into even more. So we also work a lot with our village. So we are an open place for the people of the village. We host the local fire department. We host the voting. We host the yearly village festival. And we also work with the region on regional rural development projects. So that's like a whole other thing that we do. And we started a nonprofit together with the two closest towns, where we're doing all kinds of work and bringing digital services to the region, where we're opening our networks like between this region and Berlin and even internationally. So we've got a lot, really a lot going on. So we're never bored.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. It's such a fun space, right? It's just in terms of the vibrations. Whenever I go there, I just come back super excited. And I think whenever you offer yourself the space of deep thinking and, you know, emotional work, as Coconut is, working in the nature, or as a meditation retreat is, Vipassana, for example, I'm always amazed on how many different ways it touches you. The experience touches me. And the last time when I went to Coconut, I had this amazing experience of seeing one of your little girls playing around with the guests and the workers at that facility, that it inspired me to get you onto this conversation. And I didn't even expect it. So just to build up for the audience, I was having this lunch, which we have a common meal time with all the guests. You have 30, 40 guests at any given point in time who'd sit together and have a wonderfully cooked vegan meal in your common areas, in your restaurant and bar. And I was just, you know, about to sit down for my meal, and I saw this one little girl, probably 7, 8 months old. I can't remember.
I think she was 6 or 7 months when you were there, yeah.
And she was just being tossed from one person to the other, and she would be interacting with everyone, and she was just smiling. And I was like, you know, I couldn't help but ask this question after she had been swapped like 15 times. Who's her mother? Where are her parents, right? And I had no idea. So, and what's her name, by the way? Skylar, was it?
Skylar.
Yeah. And she's the happiest kid I know. So
she's a super sunshine baby. So, I mean, she does cry, but it's usually at night. It's usually after the sun goes down. But during the day, she's like the happiest baby. I mean, she is a happy baby, even for me. Like, and that's just luck, really. I think you never know what's going to happen. But no, she's like the baby of Coconut. I have two daughters, and yeah, the baby comes with me to work every day. And yeah, people like her a lot. Yeah. Actually, she gets more hellos in the morning than I do. So that's like, it's pretty funny.
You know, I come from India, and we do have a lot of community living and experiences there, living in the neighborhood, and their doors are pretty much open, or at least used to be when I was a kid. But that's definitely unusual for the Western world. And when I saw Skylar being so open and, you know, greeting everybody and interacting with everyone, I just thought I had to get you onto this show and ask you this question and understand, how is her upbringing going on, and what do you feel about this?
Yeah.
So here we are.
Here we are. Yeah. No, it's fun. I'm definitely in a privileged position where, as you mentioned, I'm one of the founders of this place, Coconut, which is always full of people. And we have people doing exchanges here. And some people offered to help me with the baby, which is very cool because, like, once, I mean, as you know, because you have kids, after they're just a few months old, then they start needing attention. And it just kind of evolved in this way where people were like, I want to give her the attention that she's asking for, and then you can concentrate on your work. And yeah, so then it just turned into this thing where lots of people were sharing this responsibility and giving me some time, which was just really nice. And it just felt really natural. So it wasn't about me like asking a favor of people. It was this really natural sort of thing where people were offering, and I am not afraid to say yes to nice offers to things. And when it's with my children, what I like to do, or how I feel about it, is like, I see the happiness in other people's faces. And so I am happy to give the happiness, you know, if it's coming back and forth, and it's just like something that grows, and then it's nothing, it doesn't feel like a chore, or doesn't feel like anything, I don't know, it doesn't feel like I'm taking advantage or that anything bad is happening. It just feels like really how it should be. So it always just felt natural for me to let people hold her and play with her. And when people offer to babysit, I say yes. I mean, if it feels natural. And if some people, like, they think that they want to take care of the baby, but once they have her, they're like, actually, I don't know what to do, then it's no problem too. And so it's just how it happened. So I think what you saw was this like event, and yeah, like there was a couple people who hadn't seen her for a little while playing with her. And yeah. And it was the same with my other daughter as well. So I don't know.
Yeah.
We've always had a lot of people around, so it always made sense that people could hold her and or hold them and play with them.
Yeah, and if I would have taken my son to a countryside as well and have him exposed to that kind of environment as well, but again, you know, it's such a hard, it's a hard choice. And you know what I understand about your life is that you were also not always living in countrysides like this, and this was a choice that you made to move from Berlin to this village and create this space called Coconut. Tell us a little bit about your life. Did you grow up in such an environment? I'm trying to understand, where does this openness come from?
I don't know. There's some things that kind of make sense, but some things not. I grew up in the suburbs of the US, It was definitely a more open time when I was growing up. I was a child of the 80s, let's say. So my brother and I were running around. So we were allowed to run around the neighborhood and play with the other kids. And we just had to be back for dinner. It was not a, there wasn't a lot of checking in and stuff like that. So we could run around. We could go to the neighbors' houses and we could go to the park and we had a limit of how far we could go. And that's how I grew up. And that's how I'm happy that I can be like that here. It's definitely different now in the States because like the way that my brother raises his kids also in the suburbs, not the same anymore. So he doesn't. It's really different. And I was like, I don't know. I'm happy that I have this chance to be more open. I am also observant and not like unaware of things, but I'm definitely, I don't know. I just keep aware. I know who is around and I know who is with my kids. I'm not just like letting strangers take them away or something like that. But at the same time, I trust the people who are here and they're not here just for one day or something. They're here for months and they get to know me and my family and they become a part of the family. And that's how it feels. So it all feels natural. And there is an element of trust. I'm not like giving the kids, like letting them go away with people I don't know. For sure, I don't do that. And anyway.
Of course not. Absolutely. And I get that. But I think what we saw, or at least I saw, touched me in many ways because, and it goes back to your comment as well. And it shows that earlier you said that it's about sharing that happiness. And when I'm looking at my child, there's so much of possessiveness involved. There's so much of that fear involved that within the city, it's not imaginable to think that how I would let my kid just walk around from one place to the other with one adult to the other. But the atmosphere that you've created at Coconut allows for that space. And it's just beautiful what would come out of Skylar when she grows up as connecting with other human beings and other people as she grows up. And I wonder, was that something that was natural or did that traveling to Berlin and other places could have sparked that kind of interest in you and where you became a lot more comfortable and you could let your guard down when it comes to trusting other people?
I don't know. I guess it's, to be honest, I think it's, I don't know where it comes from because it's just been there. Even with my first daughter, like she was born in Berlin. And even when she was just a few days old and a couple of friends came over, I was like, here, hold the baby, you know? And I remember my friends being like, oh, okay, because I think they were surprised. But actually, I was like, of course you want to hold the baby. I don't know. I think it's a little bit me. And I understood at some point when I saw other people with their newborn babies that not everybody does that. So, you know, not everyone's handing their newborn babies around. I don't know. I don't know why, but I do it. And I'm happy about it. Like I said, it's this happiness thing. You see people's faces and it's like, here, this makes you happy. And they're happy too. The more people, the better. I don't know. And then, you know, if I thought about it, I was like, yeah, the more people that they smell, that they hear, that they're around, that they see, the more people they'll be used to being around anyway. So I thought that was a good thing. I did. And my older daughter, at some point we moved, but I don't know. I've got so many things. I don't know if this is the best segue, but I'll just go there. So we moved to the countryside about 4 years ago. My daughter is now 6, so she wasn't even 3 yet. And we started living on site and getting this place ready. And we would have people who stayed here for a few months and she would make connections with them for sure. And she always had her favorite person and it was amazing. She loved them and she'd just be like obsessed and she'd be like, Sasha, Sasha, Sasha. Oh my God. But like following this guy around and he loved, and there was always like this lovely relationships between the people. But at that time, people definitely weren't here as long. So she also had this experience of connecting and then letting go, which actually she seemed pretty okay with. But I think sometimes maybe it did affect her in ways that I won't understand. But she still was easy to make friends. But I can say like at one point we realized that it really wasn't working so perfectly anymore. And that was when Coconut was operating and busy. And we had also just started a company. So starting a company is almost like having a child. Like you don't know how much work it's going to be till it's happening. And then you're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And we had a couple things as a family going on. Like my partner and I started this together and we realized like when we're living here, we're never off. So that wasn't healthy for us. And also for her, we didn't have our own private space. So we were also like eating every single meal with other people, even breakfast before I even had a cup of coffee. Like I was in this public space with my very young child getting ready for daycare. And she started to have these tantrum meltdowns and it really wasn't fun. It wasn't nice. And at some point I was like, this, it's like she has this audience and it's just different. If it's just me and her, it doesn't happen. But when we have this audience and people around, the interaction is different. Also, my attention is often taken away from her because people ask me questions. And so that would be one at one point where this situation wasn't the best. And then we decided to move as a family to the next village.
Right.
Which also was a great thing, super great. So she can run around and play and I don't have to take care at all. Like all the kids in this village, there's a lot of kids and they all play in the center area where there's no traffic. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was really cool. But on the other side, she also got shy after about a year. She got shy with other people because then she had only been in this very small circle. So I really witnessed all the differences that happen. It's crazy.
What you've chosen as a lifestyle in terms of creating this space with your partner, Janos, having kids there and having a very fluid demarcation between your work life and family life and, you know, relationship with partner and kids.
Yeah.
All of us have been thrown into that right now with work from home situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody is in that space. What have you done to bring some sanity to madness that which I see from outside? Everything is just confusing, but have you set some rules? Have you been able to demarcate these boundaries clearly? What have you done to...
For us, like physically moving our home to another location was like key. So... It was clear for everyone when we're in this space, when we're at Coconut, it's work. And if she's with us, then we have to make sure that she is taken care of in a certain way. Like I'm talking about my older daughter now because she's 6 now and she can take care of herself to a certain extent because Coconut is also her place. Like she knows this place and she has her things that she does here when she comes. But we have to take care that she's not like just, I don't know, wandering around we should make sure that she's got something going on or people to talk to. And she has her people now, actually, people that have been here for a few years. She really loves them and she comes, she just hangs out with them. And it's totally cool too. Like they're her friends. They really are. It's amazing. But when we are at home, it's home and it's not, we don't work. We really try not to work at home and we try not to talk too much about work at home.
Yeah.
And we do, obviously, but we try, we really do try to have the separation. So that was very important for us. And I think that's something, especially now when everyone's working remote, I know it's really hard when you're working remote in your actual home, but if you can maybe create a space within that home that is the workspace, that even if your kids are going to bother you, they know actually when you're sitting at that table, that's your work table. And then they also could know when you're not at that table that you're not working anymore. And you could also think to really keep it in mind. So it's really different to get used to this remote work thing for a lot of people, for sure. Or just having this like undefined workspace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I've realized a lot more about myself than about my child during this working from home situation. And I've become a lot more comfortable having him around me and sitting on my laps while taking meetings, and he would just come in and out. And it's been completely normal, whereas before, and as opposed to before, I would set very clear boundaries. Okay, I'm working now. Please don't come in. Right now, it's just fluid. And I might be talking to you. And if he walks in, I'll be absolutely okay to just kind of pause this conversation, talk to him first because he needs something and then come back to you. On the other side, I've had to experiment in a few ways on how to teach him, okay, daddy's now busy. He's talking on the phone. Find other ways to, you know, engage yourself. And I think it probably gets easier as he grows older as well. So it's definitely, it's exciting. I would love to know, I was watching one of your videos as well on YouTube, and I learned that you had moved from Berlin to the small place to set up Coconut. And back then it was nothing but just a design on a piece of paper or just a vision, an idea. And your first daughter was also probably was born about the same time as you were setting the foundations of this whole thing. And in that video, you mentioned that it was just a dream and a vision that we had. And 6 years later, it came true. So walk me through, you know, what was the thing? How did you manage that part of your life, taking up this massive task, plunging yourself into the unknown, and then also at the same time raising a kid?
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I think about it and I don't know how we did it. But I mean, the way that it all progressed, kind of, it makes sense. Like we had already started working on the concept before our first daughter was anything. So we were not pregnant. We had just moved in together, actually. And then we started to dream and have these ideas. And then we had the kind of the core concept of Coconut and really started to put some energy into it. And I think we were doing that for about, I don't know, it feels like about 2 years. And then I was pregnant. And at that time, we'd been looking for a property for almost 2 years, really. And then I was like, okay, and now I'm having a baby. When are we going to find this place, you know? And so that was interesting, too, because the pregnancy put this like time limit for me on the project. We had been developing it, but hadn't found the place where we would set it up yet. And I was like, okay, if we don't find a place by the time we have the baby, should we still do this project? And then, yeah, so that was like, it's interesting when you have, when you're pregnant and you have a baby, then all of a sudden you've got these like markers in your life. That was pre-pregnancy. Right. And this was like when I was pregnant. So we were looking and looking when I was pregnant. We went to France to work on the project. We got a Erasmus for Entrepreneurs post. So we were able to visit France at another project that was developing like ours while I was pregnant. And we did a little bit of other traveling, like when I was pregnant as well. We spent a lot of time in France in that time. And then she was born and we still hadn't found the place. But 6 months later, or 6 weeks later, sorry, when she was 6 weeks old, our partner was like, shouldn't we go on a real estate run? And we were like, yeah, okay. So then we did. And then we found our place, like that we did our proof of concept. So the first coconut, and we found when our first daughter was 6 weeks old, which is crazy. She was like a good luck charm, it felt like. So we found this place, our first coconut, which was in a much more remote place, just 60 kilometers north of where we are now. So also close to Berlin, but closer to the river and more in the forest, very remote. And we found this place, we found the landlords, and we made an agreement that we would be able to try our idea out in the summer and see how it goes. So we had that agreement. And then Janosz and I took her. Before we went to this place, we had already had plans to go on a trip, like a big, I don't know, in Germany, you get this really nice Elternzeit, like parental leave.
Yeah.
So we planned a big trip. And so we planned a trip to Asia. And we went to Thailand with a bunch of friends and then traveled alone as a family for a while as well. So we traveled through Thailand and then we ended up in Bali. And we were visiting projects and had our six-month-old baby with us. And wow, we're like those people working on their project with their baby. And yeah, it was a really amazing time and experience. But developing our concept, meeting other people was really cool. She was, and our first daughter also had this kind of like thing where some people really fell in love with her. And that happened in Bali with this family we lived with for a while. And yeah, I don't know. It was just very nice. And then we came back to Germany and moved to the countryside for the first time to set up this place with her as a very young baby. And yeah, I really think back to it. And I think, I don't know, like sometimes I really wonder how we did it. We did it though. We found her a daycare place. She did start pretty early. She started when she was 10 months old.
Yeah.
And I would ride her with my bike trailer because I didn't drive. So to the daycare closest to us. And we worked on this project. And yeah, I look back at the pictures. We had her first birthday out there. Yeah. I don't know how we did it. I don't know. Sometimes it's really like wild. But she was there the whole time. And she was always with all the people who were working on the project with us. And
yeah. To bring out the contrast, you're leaving a 3-4 million size city, Berlin, to go to a small village. How many people? 400-500 people? Not more than that, I guess.
No,
right?
It's like 50 people.
50 people, and you've just bought an old sort of a hotel, rundown building, and you're going to construct coconut. And now that we have, as it is today, after 7-8 years, how many people can stay there? How many rooms is this?
Here we can have, well, now we found this place in 2017. So we've been open here for about 3.5 years. We have 20 rooms, but we can host about, I think it's 54 people, not nowadays.
Sure.
It's usually one person per room at the moment, but it's very different days.
It's a large mansion for yourself and your family.
Yeah.
But did you ever imagine that you would be able to, did you ever think about running this place when you were growing up?
Or
as a young professional?
Not at all. This was not my, no, I went to art school. If my 20-year-old self saw me now, it'd be like, whoa, that is not what I imagined. Not at all. I studied art. I grew up in the Midwest of the States, and I moved to San Francisco to go to art school and had a pretty wild 5 years there in between like this .com time and the startups time.
Yeah.
So it was like this beautiful moment in San Francisco where there was a lot of art going on, a lot of nonprofit spaces and clubs, and the music scene was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And after a while from there, I moved to Vietnam. I had always wanted to travel the world and see the world. And I started with San Francisco, and then I had some friends living in Vietnam who invited me to move there. So I also did. And I lived and worked in Hanoi for 4.5 years. I was working for WWF, for the environmental organization. So I transformed my art into documentary filmmaking and storytelling while I was there. And that's where I met Janos, my partner. So I met him in Vietnam. He was also living and working there for a shorter amount of time. What's funny is I'd already decided to move to Berlin before I met him, just like a few months before. I'd been invited by another friend to move to Berlin. Yeah. And then I met Janos and I was like, oh, hi. And we were both going back to Berlin or whatever. I was moving there and he was going back at the same time. And
You fell in love with Berlin more than Janos.
No, I mean, I was already planning to go. I didn't even know Berlin. I actually decided to move there, but I had never been there.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Just your instinct there.
But I had a friend, I mean, and I actually, the friend who invited me is our one of our co-founders for Coconut. So it all like makes sense in the end. It's funny. Yeah. So I moved to Berlin and I fell in love with the city. I really did. And actually when Janos and I we were together already. And at some point we'd been together for a few years and I moved in. And I remember really considering Berlin. And I was like, actually, we talked about it. We decided that we would like to try to have kids. And I had already thought in my head, like, Berlin is a great city for having kids. And so now we live in the countryside. I really love and appreciate what we have here. But I also really loved what I saw there, which was that, like, what I saw was that people who had kids were still allowed to have fun in this way that isn't so seen for me in the States. So people would take their kids to live music shows, or there'd be like these open air DJ things. And there was always kids there just wearing like the ear protection things, and the parents were having fun and everybody was having fun and dancing around, and the kids were dancing around too. And I thought, this is amazing. And that was like, these are like some of the things that also built into like my whole concept of how I wanted to be a parent. So I didn't want to just stop living my life. Like I wanted them to be a part of what I was doing. And what I saw there was that it's possible to have fun, to still keep this like energy of youth and dancing and like all these things. And you could still be a responsible, respected parent. Yeah. That was something different than where I grew up, for sure.
Yeah.
Which is like really nice to see.
The more I get into these conversations with some of my guests, I think the theme that really springs up for me personally is that just because I'm a parent, life doesn't end or change drastically there. There's still a big room and potential to find out what it's really about for you as a family. And you can still have that fun. You can still go on adventures. You can still do travels. You can still build your house, buy that hotel, buy that mansion, and create something. And that's what's come out of this conversation for me as well.
Yeah,
it's been fantastic, Julian. Thank you so much for telling me. There's something which I definitely want to know. Now that this has happened for you, or this is happening for you as you had never imagined, what do you tell your kids about dreaming and vision? Of course, the older one, not the six-month one.
No, the older one. I think what we do is we just like, you know what it is with her is I'm just so fascinated by her. She learns things that I never learned. Like she got to go to a forest kita, this forest daycare where they go to the forest every day.
Right.
And I realized that she knew like plants better than I did. And that was really interesting. She has a big love for animals.
Mm.
She's really good at math. She's bilingual, obviously, because that's how we're raising her. And so she's speaking English and German perfectly. And I'm just kind of amazed by her. She picks up things and she really concentrates on them. So I'm just trying to give her the space that she needs to explore herself and encouraging her to try new things. She is a little bit stubborn, so she is not always up for trying new things, but we really try to encourage her to not just say no, to go ahead and just like try things for a little while. She's trying music right now, not her favorite thing, I can tell you that. So she probably won't be a musician, but that's fine. And I just more look at her and just wonder what she will end up doing. It could be so many things. And I'm happy to see what shape it takes. Yeah, it's really like, I'm not, I don't want to put any expectations. I wanted her to try to play music just to see if it's what she wanted. Out here, she also has this opportunity I never had, which is to ride horses. Like, so she's like, go to riding classes, and that's super fun. And she loves it, and she really loves animals. I don't know.
Yeah. There's so much frames that we put in on our kids, right? Like, you know, when I look at him, I'm like, hey, this is how he should be or supposed to be. And many times it's just tweaking that pattern in my mind, saying, hey, I'm just looking at from one frame of reference. There's multiple ways to look at the situation. So what if he doesn't like this? So what if he doesn't become a natural soccer player, right?
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to be, But
it's funny. You have to deal with yourself. I mean, she doesn't like all the stuff that I liked when I was a kid. And I'm like, oh, it's not like that all kids like that thing that I liked, you know? So it's also like, you have to get used to it.
Yeah.
I also struggle with this multiculturalism too. She's growing up in Germany. I'm American. It's interesting raising a kid in this sort of, in a country different than where you grew up, which is what I'm doing. It's funny because I lived in Vietnam, where there was the difference, cultural difference was so great that it was like very obvious. It was clear that it's a very different country. And then I moved to Germany, which I knew would be a bit more familiar, and it is, but there's still some differences. We did this exercise when I was pregnant, which I actually try to recommend to like all of my friends who have kids, where we, I don't know, I got it from a website, but it was like one of the best things that we ever did. It was like, you had to take some time, like you were together and you like thought about the things that your parents did when you were a child, like things that they did that you would like to do and things that they did that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And with your mother and your father. So you had four lists in the end, and then you shared with each other what those things were.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, it was good on so many levels. Like we really learned about each other and also about how we were raised, like in these, it was like things that kind of come out, but like in this very specific way we never had talked about before. And then we could also share our own expectations to maybe even clarify our expectations within ourselves and then to share those with our partner, with my partner. It was so good. I don't know if we're like really remembering those lists and those things, but just that moment where we really understood that we have thought about things and we've thought about the way things were when we were kids. It was something I definitely recommend everyone to do. So we really had some ideas of what we wanted before we had our first daughter. And that was a really nice thing.
Yeah. Just to get that realization that many of the times you're projecting what you've learned from the past to this moment and what you might be expecting with your kids, or what I'm expecting with my kids, has changed drastically from what I experienced with my parents as well. And that realization, probably putting that on a piece of paper, probably helps. That's a beautiful exercise. Yeah. I'll do it. I think five years later, I'll do it.
It's a really good one. There's things I think about. For sure, I do them differently. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm doing it right or not. Yeah, I don't. For nobody, that's like this weird thing about parenting that you don't realize till you're a parent, is that like nobody knows what they're doing before you go into it. And there's no expert on parenting. Everybody has to figure it out. And it's such a big thing. It's such a weird thing that you get this baby and then you have to like raise the baby. And then they have to become an adult and everybody does it a little bit differently. And there's no right way or wrong way to do it. I think what's good is like if you keep open for learning and also not be too critical of yourself at the same time. That's like also important. Nobody's perfect. And you're always going to do something that you're like, oh, I really wish I would have done that different. And I think what I try to do in those moments is just to remember that I can do it different the next time. I can also admit that I'm wrong to my child. Like that's also something my parents probably wouldn't have done when I was a kid. But I've had those moments where I realized that I said something not in the way that I really would like to say it to my daughter. I wanted to express something like she had done that was negative, let's say, and I didn't say it in the right way. Like I would let, you know, and then I can still speak to her about it. I can still say, okay, I said this and I could have, I should, what I really would have liked to have said was this. And then we talk about it. So I try to also do that. I also try to keep an eye on my own emotions. That's something I learned from my experience. It's just like to try to not interact. If I'm angry, I really try not to go into the anger to my kid. I try to like take a step back. And I even say to her, I'm starting to feel angry right now. So I would like if we just stop this thing that's happening. And then usually it can work. Not always. She also has her moments, and children are emotional and you have to also give them that time to be emotional. I think you just saw it. She was getting very emotional. Yeah, I don't know. Ugh, parenting. The thing is like, I didn't want to stop what we were doing because I'm also not the only parent. So the other parent was there. That's also why I didn't stop it, because I feel confident that he will take the responsibility of the kids and I have my time. We run this company together. So we have to do this all the time. Like, it's clear. Sometimes I need time. He has to take the kids, and that's the only way that we can get our things done. And if it's my turn to take care of the kids, I take them, and sometimes they get away or whatever, but we have to share the responsibilities or it doesn't work. So that's why I didn't go away, because it is okay. Like, we've made this arrangement. Anyway.
You've done that for years.
This is like also with us as a couple, and I know I'm talking a lot now, I'm excited.
Yeah.
But us as a couple, we had this weird thing that most people don't have, that we were working on the same project. So where I've seen like friends of mine struggling with this balance of power of who's going to be watching the kids while the other one is going forward with their work. And for us, it was always clear we're working on the same project. So I know what he needs to do and he knows what I need to do. And both are important, and we understand and know what it is. So there's no, like, we don't have to explain anything, or we have no, like, we weren't fighting over whose thing was more important, which is what I've seen this happen with friends of mine.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily more important, but from the very beginning, we were like, okay, let's divide the time. Let's do it before we start arguing about it. That Monday I'm working, Tuesday you're working, Wednesday. We really started to go through the week and say, okay, I need this in that time. It's important. And that's how we do it. That's what we're doing right now. So that's why he took them away. And I don't have to feel bad about it or guilty, because that's what we've decided already for today. Till 5 o'clock, I have time. Yeah. And that's the agreement. And that's like why, I mean, really, that's why I was like, no, I'm not going to get off the.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. It has been a pleasure to have you. And it was really fun. I really enjoyed it. Every time I come to Coconut, it's been game changing for me in terms of the break that I get and the refreshing ideas that I get, but also this time around, even more.
And then you just saw the real family stuff too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would love to invite my audience, if you're in Berlin, to come and visit Coconut, because that's going to change your life, as I say it.
Yeah, definitely check us out or come on by anytime. If you're in Berlin, living in Berlin or just visiting, it's easy to get here by train. It's easy to get here by car. So Coconut, community and concentrated work in nature. And yeah, we're here. And we always are having a good time with the people who come.
That's for sure. Julia, thank you, and have a good evening. Enjoy your time with your family.
Thank you.
Hey guys, as you know, we're a new podcast, so we're asking for a little help. Please rate and review us in the podcast store. Is that what it's called? What is that line at the end? I need that line. Thank you for listening to Rerouting. Sign up for our newsletter at reroutingpod.com and get new episodes delivered to your inbox every week. And if you enjoyed today's episode, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and review us. Thanks for tuning in. Until next week.